Hello and welcome to this episode of the Ogden Arts Festival podcast. My name is Eric Holmes, and this week I have my band, the Beam Me Up Scotties. I am the trumpet player slash lead singer of the Beam Me Up Scotties, a local ska band here from Ogden, Utah. And this podcast is with four-fifths of my band. We have Joshua Christensen, who plays bass guitar, Mason Gileman, who plays the drums, and Cameron Rose, who plays the trombone. Sadly, we were missing Sean Lords on guitar for this episode, but I still hope that you get plenty of insights into our creative process. I had a whole lot of fun recording this episode, and I hope you have fun listening to it. Here we go. Why do you play music, and in particular, ska music for the Beam Me Up Scotties?
Okay, something that got me into music was actually the xylophone, which is interesting because I'm a drummer and can't read music and don't have anything to do with the xylophone at all. But that is what actually attracted me to the percussion. And then as I got into actually learning how to do things with percussion, then it just kind of gravitated toward the drums. That's kind of how I picked my instrument, but love of music in general is that it's a way of self-expression that you can't get anywhere else. If you're an artist and you're drawing, that's different from being able to perform music. It's a different way of expressing yourself.
What about you, Cam? What got you into music? Why are you a trombonist?
Well, music's just kind of been something that I've always done. My mom played piano, so I grew up listening to that and playing around on the piano. I tried like drawing and shit like that. Music's what ended up working out for me. And I mean, it was elementary school. There was an elementary school band, and I remember seeing a trombone player, and it's like, what's that one? I want that one. I actually ended up playing trumpet for the first several years of my music career. Ended up switching to trombone.
Why'd you switch?
I switched around a lot before trombone. In like eighth grade, I switched to the euphonium, which is like a mini tuba. Mm-hmm. Same like range as the trombone, just like a different tone. And then I did actually play the tuba for a bit, and I wanted to be in the jazz band. And the instruments I played other than trumpet, which I really wasn't playing very much anymore, weren't really a big part of a jazz band, so I picked up the trombone.
Cool. Josh, I've heard your story, but for the sake of podcast, do you want to tell it again?
I guess if I have to. So I think when I was 5, my dad got me a Walkman for Christmas, and so we used our cassette player to rip Sabotage's Dead Winter Dead album onto there, and I listened to that on repeat for about a month and a half. And I've always just absolutely loved and connected with music. I started playing saxophone in junior high school, played all through junior high and high school, picked up bass guitar in 10th grade, and have been playing ever since. I don't play my sax anymore because it's a lot easier to find bands to play bass with than saxophone with.
That's true, but you ended up in a band that you could have played sax with.
Yeah, rub it in.
So, what's your utilitarian purpose for art, like for your music? Like, what does it do for you? Why do you keep going back to it?
I keep going back to music because it's a very useful tool for me to alter or improve my mood. So I can forget about the crap that I'm dealing with on a day-to-day or hour-to-hour or week-to-week. Whatever basis, I can get lost in music and forget about that. I can get lost in the rhythm and the melody and just turn the rest of my brain off, and that's wonderful. I absolutely love music for that, and I don't know where I would be without it.
That's something that I like about music as well. I work a very stressful job, and that I'm actually trying to change because it just sucks. But being able to come and focus on one thing rather than, 100 like everyone does throughout the day-to-day life, being able to come and just focus on that song, that beat, that fill is what's actually calming which is funny coming from a drummer. So,
yeah, that's really interesting because you say calming, and that has no bearing to what your style is at all.
Yeah, I just hit things as hard as I can.
But it's also opposite of what I feel when I play. I play music to pick me up, and so when I get kind of in a malaise, or just kind of feeling blah, I guess that's where music is.
Well, I'd imagine what Mason does is like very cathartic. I mean,
yeah, you just pretend that your coworkers and bosses' faces are on your drums. I bet that's wonderful.
I've countless times I've said, you know, I get to go and hit things that don't, you know, send me to prison for it. Hit things with sticks that won't send me to prison.
I know, like I said, we're a super goofy band. Our first album coming out March 19th. Our first album was very, very goofy, and a lot of our lyrics were kind of nonsensical. I mean, we have a song about a pie, for God's sake. So just talk about why we're creating the music that we are currently.
Well, I feel like now that we actually have all of the old stuff recorded and coming out, there's a record of it now, so we can move forward and do something different.
Well, I feel like since we as a band have like gotten closer together, especially tighter as far as music goes, seems like our music's kind of maturing with us.
What? Things change? What?
That's something that I've noticed too, is as we've become tighter as a band and closer as friends, the music is changing. We're able, like the new album coming up, we don't have as many silly songs. We have things that actually matter to us individually and collectively as a band, and with some silly songs as well, because that's, you know, who we are at our roots.
Yeah, that was always, I always thought I'd have such a hard time writing something that mattered, because early in my, I don't really want to call it a career because I feel like that's overstating what I do musically.
It's been 5 years, man.
But
it's like a career got fired out of a t-shirt cannon that wasn't pressurized enough. So it just went, bloop, and it sat there for 5 years.
That's pretty accurate. But that is something that I thought I had never, because I struggled so much early on trying to write songs that actually meant something. And drawing from, you know, my emotions, and maybe it's because I think I've matured as a person. I kind of developed how to express those emotions. But now I feel like I can knock out a song, probably not as quick as those goofy songs, because I could churn out a goofy song in like 15
Man,
minutes.
I remember in 30 minutes we wrote a song called Finger Pistols on a whim because our trumpet player, we all went out to dinner before a show that we were playing, and we used to like dress up in nice clothes, shirt, tie, slacks before a show, and he was the only one who dressed up before he actually came to the show and didn't get dressed at the show. So we all went to get dinner and sat down and we ate, and we get up and we're starting to walk out, and he goes a different way out than the rest of us. He was ahead of everybody, and I saw him look into his reflection in the window, and he gave himself finger pistols. He snapped and then shot his finger pistols at himself in his own reflection. And so that's why we wrote Finger Pistols.
Yeah, unfortunately that song was never released because it really wasn't that good.
Oh, it was real bad. There's a reason it was written in 30 minutes.
But, yeah, like I said, we could punch out lyrics to a goofy song, but now I was unemployed for 2 months, and which that's nothing compared to what a lot of people go through. But for me, it was really hard because I always had a job. I always had that. And one of our new songs, Happy, I was able to draw from that experience like I hadn't been able to before. And that song helped me be okay with where I was in my life, despite the fact that, you know, my upbringing, my community said being unemployed is horrible, but I was able to still find happiness in it. And so, I think Cam brought up a really good point. Just maturing as a band, we're able to make different decisions, I guess, and better decisions and better music and more meaningful music.
It's funny to say that because we're a ska band. But
yeah.
Yeah. What we do doesn't mean anything at all.
Lyrically, we've grown up with this second album, and musically, we've also grown up quite a bit. And I'm the newest member in the band, and even with the four new songs that we have, it's become more musically than the old songs have been.
So, while we're talking about ska, why do you guys, we joke around about it all the time, how, we're a ska band, and ska bands are always kind of maligned in popular culture as like, oh yeah, people in ska bands are just like, they're hopeless dreamers and whatever. But why do you guys play ska, and why do you guys enjoy it?
It's a selfish reason for me, since playing bass, most ska bassists, they just play what they want. Pretty much all the time. As long as they're keeping time, they can play as much as they want. Play as many notes, crazy riffs, scales, you name it. It gets crazy on ska bass. And that's why I like to play it.
Me and Cam, it's kind of obvious because we play horns, and there's not... It's either that or a jazz band.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm sure there are like hundreds of Chicago cover bands out there.
Maybe. What about you, Mason? What do you play?
For me, this is really what I grew up listening to. I get crap all the time for saying I don't like these bands anymore, but like the Aquabats and Real Big Fish, that's what I grew up listening to, and it's just kind of molded me into what I am now, and what helped me, choose the instrument I chose and everything like that, just what I wanted to become. And so selfish reasons is, it's what I always have loved playing and loved listening to. But a not so selfish reason, there's a band called the Suburban Legends, not the Suburban Legends, just Suburban Legends. And they have a song called Do It for the Kids. And to quote them, it says, "We dance for you to wash away your cares, cracking smiles even when we're sad." That's the way it goes in a ska band. And that's completely true, especially for the Beam Me Up Scotties, because, we're there to have fun. And, for people who are listening to us, we have friends like Grant that they love the silliest of Beam Me Up Scotties songs. And it's really because we can put smiles on other people's faces.
Cam, do you want to throw in why you play ska?
But yeah, being a trombonist, you don't really get a whole bunch of opportunity as far as playing goes, unless you're like a really high level jazz musician, which I studied jazz in college for a while, but I play ska because I have friends that play ska and they need a trombonist.
We love you for
it. Yeah, we do love you for it, that's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the creative process. We have a very, blue collar creative process. That's the nicest way I can put it.
Those are words you could use to describe it. There are other words.
But, some people they'll really hash out the theory, and they'll, pick keys deliberately and things like that.
I don't really know how to explain the writing process for the drums, because it changes. When we come up with an idea, I'm laying down a very simple, let's keep it in time, rhythm. And then as the song matures, the rhythm matures. And it changes, and then it changes again when Josh writes his bass part.
Mm-hmm. And when I'm sitting down to write guitar parts, I just start playing chords and see if they work, because all of my theory was learned in high school and I didn't use it for so many years. It's just all gone now. I can't remember it. I'm trying my damnedest to learn it again, but thankfully we have Cam, who actually knows what he's talking about in music.
For the most part.
I can hash out a somewhat okay chord progression, and then Cam can help me correct it.
Yeah, well, I actually think that our creative process is pretty pure, to be honest. We just kind of pick up an idea, something that we think sounds all right, and then we just jam it out until we have what we want. And then we solidify that and build on that base, and pretty soon we've got a song. I mean, I think it works pretty well.
Oh, I did. I never said it didn't work. Yeah. It's just weird.
It is weird. Then we just kind of pound it out
bulldoze our way through it until it works.
And I think that's awesome, honestly. So when in that creative process, what inspires you? Like what, Mason? What inspires you to make a cool drum part or a cool fill? Like how do you get that inspiration?
excuse me. I actually think it's being excited for someone else. Like when Josh is playing a guitar part and I'm just, you know, feeling the groove, and it just happens that I just love what he played. That's when my creativity really comes out, because I want to enhance what Josh is playing. And so it's almost being excited for what someone else is doing.
I think that we kind of each like tap into the feeling or the vibe of the song that's going on, as far as like how we figure out what we want to play. I mean, we get an overall feel, like a mood, and then like, okay, what can I do that fits this or enhances this, you know, makes this better or says what I want to say. It's a very expressive process. I
agree. I key a lot into what you guys do. You know, there'll be occasions where, you know, I have like a song buzzing around in my head, or words buzzing around in my head for lyrics, and then Josh busts out a chord progression. I'm like, I can put words to that, and it's great that we can all kind of like build off of each other's creativity in order to make a better whole. Like, I really do think we are greater than the sum of our parts, and that we can build something better because we have each other to build off of.
I agree, and we have the comfort levels to improvise and tell each other what works, what doesn't work, without taking it personally. And
I always get disappointed though when you guys say the thing, like the thing that I'm like, oh, I'm really oh wait, that's in the wrong key.
I also think we have the right bunch of people to make this work. We have another good friend, another artist here locally, Jeff Dillon, who recently has told the Beam Me Up Scotties that he considers us brothers. And I would actually say that about us in the band as well. We enjoy being around one another. We're more than just, you know, co-workers here in this band. We're mm-hmm. we're friends that enjoy being around one another. And that comes out in our creativity as well.
So this is kind of a loaded question, but I totally feel that too. Like, you know, when Jeff said like, you guys are my brothers, I'm like, I totally feel that for him as well. And honestly, I've seen Jeff probably 6 or 7 instances in my entire life. and we played with this phenomenal band called the Nightbeats for 2 shows over a Friday and Saturday. And I love those dudes, and I want to play with them again so bad.
And we've interacted with them for all of 6 hours.
Yeah, and
there's something magical about music that can bring people together like that, that quickly and that deeply.
And why do you guys think that is? I know that's a super, super loaded question.
It's not even a loaded question. It's just like dropping an anvil on us.
I personally think that as a musician, being in a band, and they understand the hard work it took individually as a musician, like Dennis, he's the drummer of the Nightbeats. He understood the hours that I put into drums to be able to sound the way I do, and so we were able to connect over that. And that's the way it was with everyone in that band, and I think that would be was the same for us as well. We knew their struggle. We knew that they were away from home. We knew that we wanted to help them have a good time and to see success while they were here as well. And so everyone trying to grow together and understanding the struggle is kind of what I think brought all of us together. Same with Jeff, same with Makeways and, you know.
Man, I love those guys.
Yeah.
They're all great. I'm gonna go hippie on you guys and be like that it's just kind of a collective energy that music brings. And like sometimes you'll just find bands that kind of match that collective energy. Which, like I said, sounds totally like hippie bullshit. But it is, to me, when I saw the Nightbeats play and when I see Jeff Dylan play, I have an automatic respect for them and I have an automatic connection to them because I just feel like they are playing music for the same reason that I do. They are, you know, they're genuine creators who are making something just awesome that I love and I want to hear more of. And I think that to me is kind of where that connection comes in.
I think that to a point, that's just like a language, and that there is some like, I don't know, psychological like groundings there, but it's kind of just a language, a way of expressing that. But I think it is a thing.
Even looking at it as a purely scientific perspective, it is energy that is going out at the same rate and hitting all of us at the same rate. We all feel it at the same time. Just helps people connect.
Well, kind of want to go into the people and things that inspire you to create and to play music. Who inspires you? What kind of bands, what kind of people do you draw your inspiration from when creating your music?
The music and soundtracks from video games. Video game music is all about enhancing the story that you're experiencing. So it's all very communicative. Like there's a lot of emotion a lot of the times that goes into it. Or, you know, you just get like Mario shit that's just happy and fun and gets stuck in your head for, you know, the next 3 weeks.
I agree. Video game soundtracks are absolutely phenomenal for what they do. I mean, there's one video game soundtrack from Shovel Knight. The entire thing is written, the game came out last year or the year before, but the entire soundtrack is written to be played on an NES sound chip. But it is one of the absolute best video game soundtracks I've ever listened to. Just the driving energy of it, the melody, the harmony, it's all just perfect for what it is.
I haven't even played the game yet, but I'm going to slide Undertale into that with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Have you checked that out?
I am not. But there are tons of games out there. Super Meat Boy, Crypt of the Necrodancer, Bastion. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Bastion and Transistor. I think Darren Korb is the composer for them. And he is just amazing.
Mason, since you kind of got disinterested in when they mentioned video games.
I'm not as into video games as Cam, especially, and you know, most everyone in the entire world. But for me, what inspires me to play music and to write music and everything is mostly emotion. Pretty much in every part of every song, there's a different emotion that has inspired what I'm going to play. And, you know, there's some heavy distorted parts that we will play. And I use the term heavy pretty loosely. But there's, you know, there's anger and stress, but then there's also happiness and joy in almost every single one of the songs. And so pretty much what I would say is emotion is what, to answer your question, if that even did answer your question.
For sure. I think what inspires me is I really love the performing part of what we do. And I like being up on stage and I like getting the crowd into it. I like
being front and center in front of everybody.
Well, you know, that too, I guess. I do enjoy, interacting with a crowd. The greatest compliment that anyone can give, our music, I feel like, is if they get up and dance. And I love seeing little kids react to our music because they're just like, oh, hey, this is bouncy and happy. I'm just going to dance because I'm a kid and I have no inhibition. And
man, this is almost as good as sugar.
Yeah. And I love it. I absolutely like, because when I see that, I know we're doing something right. When I see a kid dancing to our music, because it brought that energy to them. And they knew intrinsically, even though like they could be 4 years old and they don't, like they're not even in kindergarten yet, but yet they know that they're that song you dance to. And that is just really cool to me. And I love seeing people react and seeing people interact with our music. And so that's what really inspires me. And I feel like I'm an attention whore for saying that, but I totally bask in it, man.
It's a whore.
Every podcast we do, you call me a mean word.
I'm sorry.
Let's do some, just, you know, for kicks and giggles, let's do some recommendations. Who out there, preferably locally, who out there is doing stuff that you love and that you want people to know about?
Absolutely. Number one top of the list for me locally is Show Me Island. They are so good. They play slower ska, but they are so tightly knit. Just the entire rhythm section is amazing. They sit in a pocket so deep they could build a house there. It's just absolutely amazing to watch them play live and to listen to their albums. Then their horn section just accents perfectly. They're so good. And then their singer, Lauren, she has one of the most unique and amazing voices I've ever heard. I absolutely adore Show Me Island. They are so good.
They are very good. I will agree on all counts. What about you, Mason? Who are you pimping?
I got a shout out to The Avenues. They've been my very good friends for a long time. Their drummer, Tucker, he and I have been friends almost my entire life. And so, yeah, they're awesome. They're like a ska punk band, more punk than ska. But
they're still so much fun to watch, though.
They are so
much.
You
so
can
much
just,
fun to listen to. They bring so much energy to all their shows.
Yeah, you can just tell that they love what they do.
And I think they have a better time on stage than we do.
I think so. Like they're
it's
just
hard too, man.
So, especially with being three people.
Yeah, three people versus five. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they're such good friends, and they just love what they do, and they show it. And that's something that I feel like a lot of bands don't do. Is they you know, their music has become a job, and for The Avenues, it's still just as fun as it was when they were in, you know, junior high school. I also really like Wicked Bears, and that is actually two members of Show Me Island doing something new. And they call themselves a pop punk, and they they're just awesome. It was cool to watch these two kids do something completely different than the ska bands they've played in before. But they just like Show Me Island, they fall into that pocket and they live there and they just stay there. They're perfect.
I need to make it out to one of their shows.
They're awesome.
Another one of the bands that I really, really, really like is the Makeways.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I really dig what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They're playing ska reggae stuff, and that's really good.
Rock steady.
Yeah, it's really good. Really laid back. It's just fun to listen to, fun to dance with, fun to sing to. They're a fun band.
Might I add, the Anchorage is a really talented.
Yes. Oh man, oh, yeah. Anchorage is really good too.
You stole mine, Ken.
We're talking about Josh stole mine with the Makeways. So
I did kind of just jump back in there, didn't I?
Wait your turn.
I already had my turn. I can't wait again.
Well, then we've mentioned him already, but I'll throw out Jeff Dylan, who's going to be playing his first show with The Revival. His Facebook page is Jeff Dylan and The Revival, but I've only seen him as Jeff Dylan because he plays acoustic stuff. And even though, like...
Solo acoustic.
Solo acoustic stuff, correct. And even though he wouldn't stereotypically fit with what we do musically, because he plays kind of punk, folky stuff, mm-hmm. And we're not that
at all.
He is. You can just. He brings a lot of joy to the stage, and he brings a lot of passion, and he has a lot of that old school punk rock ethic where he's doing it on his own, and he's gonna thrash his voice because he's gonna yell every lyric he sings, and he is just so fun to watch, and has great views on what music is and what music should be, especially locally. And I really appreciate him because he's given us opportunities to perform more, and like I said, kind of form a brotherhood with our fellow local bands. And that's really what we want to do. We want to, we want a local scene. We want people to come out and have fun. And no matter what band's going out, we want everybody to just be cohesive. I am sorry to anyone we haven't mentioned. That's just an awesome band, because there's so many of you. And
She's Got a Gun out of Provo.
She's Got a Gun,
man,
yeah.
Their horn section is so tight.
Yeah.
They're so much fun to listen to.
And I wish they would play more, because
me too.
they're busy folks. Another band that I wish would play, Bombshell Academy. I haven't seen them for so long.
I've never seen them.
I haven't seen them since we played with them at Mojo's last.
Yeah, and but they always do great stuff. I always enjoy playing with them.
We kind of just said ska and punk bands, but there's others like what's that Sapphire band?
Season Sapphire.
Yeah, Season Sapphire. Yeah. They were super fun to play with. Very like a techno rock. We played with them at the Arts Festival, I think.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then some other. I can't even think of other bands that we've played with.
My little brother actually just started another project that he's drumming for, called Dance on My Grave. It's post-hardcore, but it's really good. They're really interesting to listen to. Real fun stuff.
Yeah. Another, because since we are repping the Ogden Arts Festival right now, another band we played with at the last year's Ogden Arts Festival, Panther Milk. and I loved watching them play, and they had a guy playing the conga drums, and it was amazing. And they do different stuff, but it's very tight. It's very good. All right. Well, does anybody have any parting thoughts for us?
I think there's a spider on my drum.
There is a spider on your drum.
Is there?
There sure is on his snare.
Oh, check that out.
I'm the closest to it, and I cannot see it.
Clean your glasses.
Well, that is a good place. Good place to end it. I always enjoy talking with you guys. And thanks for listening to the Ogden Arts Fest podcast. And thanks to the rest of my band, the Beam Me Up Scotties, for coming and recording with me. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
See you later.
Like to give a huge shout out to my band, the Beam Me Up Scotties. I always enjoy talking to those fellas. You can support the Beam Me Up Scotties on their social media pages on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter at the Beam Me Up Scotties. We have a very important show coming up. We're releasing our very first album called Boldly Going Nowhere. It is on March 19th. We'll be releasing it at the Loading Dock in Salt Lake City. Check out our Facebook page for more details, or hit any one of us up on our various social media pages. And if you want to be updated on the Ogden Arts Festival podcast, you can follow me at @Oaf_Eric on Twitter and at @OafEric on Instagram. If you want to let me know some artists that you'd like to feature on the show, I'd be happy to take your suggestions. If there are certain topics that you'd like me to discuss, please hit me up. I'd be happy to get some more ideas about the podcast. And of course, follow the Ogden Arts Festival on Facebook. You can be updated on all the artists and performers that are getting booked for the festival. It is going to be great this year. It is going to be June 11th and 12th at the Ogden Amphitheater. Make sure that you be there. Once again, thank you for listening to the Ogden Arts Festival podcast. The Ogden Arts Festival, where we grow art.